fraud is not only proliferating, but scammers and their schemes are becoming more sophisticated and successful as the perpetrators get better and better at exploiting your trust. Outsmarting the Scammers, Helping Seniors Fight Fraud is 99.3 County FM's effort to educate listeners on what to watch for, steps to take to avoid being scammed, and what to do if you're a victim of fraud. We partnered with the Prince Edward County Detachment of the OPP, the Prince Edward County Community Care for Seniors Association, and the Municipality of the County of Prince Edward to create this six-part documentary series. Each week, we'll explore a common type of scam, hear from victims and their families, and learn some tips on how we can protect ourselves. 99.3 County FM's radio series, Outsmarting the Scammers, Helping Seniors Fight Fraud, is funded by the Government of Canada's New Horizons for Seniors program.
Hello?
Hello. This call is from the Credit Card Fraud and Security Department. We have noticed two suspected charges on your credit card account this morning. First charge of $400 was made on a shopping website, and the second charge of $2,100 was made in eBay. We have placed red flags on your account due to these charges. If you have not made the charge and would like to dispute them, please press 1, or else press 2 to allow them.
The call you just heard may seem all too familiar. There aren't too many of us that have not received one or two or even dozens of calls just like that. The voice is friendly, but firm. The message is concerning, and your first instinct is to panic. The caller makes it easy to respond and instills the message with a sense of urgency. They know if they don't get you to act immediately, they've lost the gambit. Whether you press 1 or 2, you're instantly connected to someone who is only too happy to help. They request your personal information, and it would seem the issue is all taken care of. But if you've fallen into the fraudster's trap, your problems are just beginning. The Prince Edward County OPP recorded 156 fraud incidents in 2022, 127 of which were perpetrated against seniors. Not all were successful, but the ones that were cost victims anywhere from a few hundred to tens of thousands of dollars. And it can happen to anybody. According to the Federal, Provincial, Territorial Ministers for Seniors, fraud is the number one crime perpetrated against older Canadians. When you consider that almost half of the county's population is over 55, it's easy to see the need for concern. Though anyone can fall victim to fraud, seniors are inordinately targeted. You might wonder why this is the case, but fraudsters know. Seniors are more likely to be home during the day and also more apt to answer the phone or the door. They may be more trusting, and if they live alone, they might not have another person close by to solicit a second opinion. Some may be experiencing cognitive decline and become confused about the situation and will follow through out of fear they may be losing control of their lives. They won't ask for help because they may be embarrassed and they don't want their relatives to know. Many successful frauds go unreported because the victims don't want to be seen as gullible or vulnerable. The boomer generation often has disposable income and accumulated wealth and want to feel they have a handle on their finances. Losing control means losing independence, and nobody wants that taken away from them. But the truth is, scammers can be quite convincing. They're very good at what they do and have successfully defrauded many people who are, by all accounts, quite sharp and aware of the risks. Take Revo, for example, who recently had a very close call with a scammer that could have been quite disastrous.
Let me start first of all by saying that I thought I was pretty savvy when it came to fraud, either on the phone or in the emails, so this caught me by surprise. It was an afternoon of July the 4th, and my electronic devices all of a sudden went off very loudly, and it said, TD Bank Fraud Alert Security Service, and then cited my credit card number and said, this credit card number we think has had several fraudulent charges. They gave me what store and how much, and it said, push 1 if these charges are legitimate, push 2 if these charges are not legitimate, so I pushed 2. Very quickly had a person on the line, said, this is TD Security, we are going to pass you on to a supervisor. So the supervisor came on and confirmed that he was the supervisor. It felt authentic. I mean, yeah. It really did. I mean, yeah. As I say, my alerts are really quite high, and yeah. This one didn't. And, you know, they said they've canceled my credit card, they've canceled my bank access. Everything sounded serious, and they said they would send me a new credit card and everything else, like it's happened several times before for other things. So I really thought they were legitimate. And then we started going through things to see, purportedly, if anything more had been done.
Revo was quickly swept into the panic of the moment, but pretty soon the fraudster showed his hand, something he said brought it all into sharp focus. Revo slammed on the brakes.
And then he started talking to me about Bitcoin. Well, the moment I heard the word Bitcoin, alarms went off, and I stopped him and I said, I think you are the fraud. And I hung up and I went charging into the bank as fast as I could, which would be about 10 minutes maybe. I got right into the teller and told him the story. He got into my account and he said, they have taken $15,000 advance on your credit card, have put it into your checking account, and they are now attempting to do an email transfer. Well, you know, thank God for electronics.
Yeah.
You're able to, you know, kind of hit buttons and put a stop on that. The $15,000 had already been taken out of my credit card, but they were able to stop the e-transfer. So at the end of the day, I went home a very relieved boy because I hadn't lost any money. But if the e-transfer had gone through, they might not have been able to retrieve it, and I might have been owed $15,000.
According to the Canadian Anti-Fraud Centre, 42% of fraud is perpetrated by direct calls, while 19% finds its target via email, and 14% from the internet. Phone calls tend to be more direct, and most seniors still have landlines and will answer the phone when it rings. To illustrate one example, Phil related a horrific story about a phone scam perpetrated on his then 78-year-old mother. One day, Phil's mom got a call telling her she'd won the lottery.
This is an insidious scam that can go on for years if not caught and means of intervening aren't taken. In our case, with my mother, it started with what I've come to learn as the lottery scam, where an individual calls and says, hey, you've won, I believe in my mother's case, it was $7.5 million. We need you to send us a check to confirm, and then we will send you the money.
So to confirm account number, or what was the check for?
Basically like a down payment on your winnings, which is not true. It's never true. If you win, you win. You don't give somebody money to win a prize. Most people recognize that. But the way they do it, again, I use the word insidious because they know what they're doing. They're professional.
Mm-hmm.
And they know how to play on people's emotions more than anything.
Right.
And with this particular case, I came to find out that it was an international scam that was actually being redirected to Kingston, Jamaica.
Oh, wow.
We did a little bit of tracing of some phone numbers because my mother had call display.
Oh, yes.
Which is extremely helpful in,
yes.
in as far as the police report that happened and all of that. But in the end, I know it's challenging for them to catch these scammers, especially when it's an international racketeering, basically, that's going on. But in her case, yeah, they said, you've won a prize. I get a phone call. My mother's all excited and in a panic. I have to go meet these people at the bank. Okay, I'll be right there.
Yes.
So while we were sitting there, they had the nerve to call back again to confirm we were going to be there to meet them. And of course, I feigned excitement. Yes, this is great. I strongly knew what was going on, but my mother was confused.
Right.
Excited, all those emotions she was going through. At the time, she had early onset dementia, which of course has progressed over the last few years. But at the time, we were aware that she did have some mental health issues.
Okay.
But they were very minor. She was still living on her own.
Right.
But so I think that made her slightly more vulnerable.
Right.
Which concerns me with, you know, the high population of seniors we have in our community and whether it's, documented dementia or just our memories fail and our emotions are a little closer to the surface as we get older.
Yeah, so
you know,
true.
All of that. So in the end, I feigned excitement with the individual and said, yes, we'll meet you down at the bank. What time do you want to be there? And we went and I waited and we waited. And of course, they never arrived.
And,
so that was the very first incident. It went from there. Of course, once they were caught, they seemed to back off for a while, but then the phone call started again and again. And of course, the upset for my mother, eventually we had to change her phone number and make it an unlisted number, a phone number she'd had for better part of 40 years.
Did your mom believe you that it was a scam?
Not at first. She had a genuine desire to win a lottery or whatever.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, she wanted to believe it, so she did believe it. We were fortunate that my mother didn't get ripped off. She came very close to it.
So they started calling again.
Yes.
And same story. They wanted to check.
Similar story. And then at one point, my mother didn't want to tell us about it. I think that's when the embarrassment factor came in. But at that point, my sister and I were on top of it and checking the call log on the phone, showing all these long distance numbers from God knows who, you know, who knows where. So eventually, like I say, we had her phone number changed. It was great for 6 months. Then somehow they started calling again. And I have to believe it's because of the randomized system that they used. Then they stepped up, and because my mother was nervous about telling us or, you know, ashamed,
yeah.
however,
mm-hmm.
whatever it was, she didn't tell us about the ones that she actually wrote checks for. And because I was visiting her quite often, I would send her mail out. She'd give it to me and I would take it to the post office. Of course, I look at the envelopes and go, why are you mailing something to Seattle? So I started asking those questions. And again, the embarrassment factor, she didn't want to talk about it. But eventually, all in the span of 2 days, we came across a check she wrote for $9,500 because she won a car. It was in an envelope getting ready to go to the, with a stamp on it, ready to go. There was a check for $1,750 to go to Seattle for something similar. We're not sure how they figured out that she was an Eastlink customer. They used a bogus company by the name of Eastlink LLC. They sold her a cable box, which she already had. That's $389. And then the best one, her bank statement. There was a Western Union charge to an individual in India for $984.70. The great thing is with Western Union, if you can prove that there was fraud, they refunded that money. So
she actually sent it through?
No, they somehow got access to her bank account. We believe that she inadvertently gave them her debit card number, credit card number, and sadly, likely her social insurance number. And that's how they were able to work their way through the system. They even did tests on her bank account, a dollar out and a dollar back in. And they did it several times. And we were told that's them testing the system to see if you notice. Then they'll grab a bigger chunk.
Oh.
That's what the Western Union was.
Wow.
So altogether, that totaled about $12,600. That we were so fortunate to be able to catch before they went out in the regular mail and got cash. Quite honestly, that would have done a fair bit of damage to my mother. You know, the financial, the emotional was already happening, but we were able to stop it.
So she was afraid to tell you. Is that because she knew it wasn't right?
I think her early onset dementia may have been a factor as well. I think in the back of her mind, she knew, but she didn't know how to deal with it. And again, all those emotions that I'm sure people go through, it certainly had a strong effect on her.
So how did you actually get them to stop?
They gave up because we caught all of this. I had at least one interesting phone call with one of the characters. They can be menacing and threatening as well, because the individual that we had gone to sit in front of Bank of Nova Scotia here in Picton, when they called back afterwards and told us you weren't there, he said, if you don't do this, we're going to hunt you down and kill you. That's where they can take it. And I think that was more directed at me than my mother, because I was the guy that interfered, right?
So, lessons learned? If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Here's some insight from Aaron Miller of Prince Edward County's OPP.
We can never be sure that the caller ID on our phone is accurate. Fraudsters realize this and have the ability to manipulate the call. So please ask for somebody's credentials when they're asking you for information, and don't hesitate to say no.
Good advice. Thanks, Aaron. Now, Revo and Phil's mom. Well, they were kind of lucky, but without some quick thinking, either of these scenarios could have played out very differently. Phil was already involved in his mom's affairs, so he was able to recognize the scam and avert disaster. Revo learned a couple of things from his experience, too, and has a tidbit of advice for anyone else who might find themselves in the same situation.
If they call you and tell you that, you know, your credit card beginning in, you know, the sequence of numbers, you look at it and say, yeah, that's my credit card. They haven't given you the last 8 numbers, which are actually the ones that count. And so if anybody is citing you just the beginning numbers, that's not legitimate. The other is that the bank never asks you for information. Even if they call you and say that they suspect some fraudulent, they may ask you, is this legitimate or fraudulent? They're not going to ask you your credit card number. They're not going to ask you your bank account number. They're not going to ask you for any information because, as they say, we know it. They don't have to ask you for that information. So if anybody's asking you for information, don't go along with it.
How did you feel about all of this? How did it make you feel?
Well, it shook me up. I mean, I thought I was pretty savvy, and there it was, you know, they got right through my savviness.
Today's scammers are well aware of the reasons why seniors are easy targets. Fraudsters use that knowledge to craft schemes that are easy to fall for, but they are also easy to debunk if you know what to look for. From winning the lottery, a free trip, or goods from a contest you didn't enter, to frantic calls from the bank's fraud department about charges on your card, malicious actors know how to push your buttons. The stories we've heard today are just a couple of examples of scams we're seeing in Prince Edward County. Others pull at your heartstrings, pretending they're a friend or a relative in trouble. And some are more up close and personal, such as people coming to your door trying to sell you services you don't need, while they case your home for a future criminal enterprise. They might even befriend you at a community function while they play the long game. One thing is for sure, there doesn't seem to be any lengths these folks won't go to. As soon as they see a tiny crack in your armor, they'll keep pushing until it breaks. Being smart won't always protect you, but being aware and alert will. So, if you get a call about something that seems odd or too good to be true, pump the brakes. Before you respond, hang up and research the claim. Call your bank to verify the details or check your account online. Ask for the caller's information and tell them you'll call them back. If you identify a fraud, block the number and report it to the authorities immediately. Whether it's your bank, the OPP, a caregiver, or a trusted relative, there is always someone ready to help. Join us next time when we'll learn about the grandparent scam and how easy it is for fraudsters to fool a person into thinking they are helping someone they love.
99.3 County FM, your nonprofit, community, volunteer-driven radio station, is proud to provide a platform for the voices of our community. The 6-part series, Outsmarting the Scammers, Helping Seniors Fight Fraud, will be available to stream in its entirety on our website at 993countyfm.ca after each episode airs. Some names of those interviewed have been changed at their request. Thank you to our 99.3 County FM production team. Scripts by Astrid Young. Interviews by Renee Wiseman-Stanners, Brenda Little, Ken Palmer, and Krista Hepburn. Narration by Wendy Mesley. Host Jim J.J. Johnson. Music by Dustin Crenna. Production by Dave Wheatley and assistant Gage Broderick. Other production and research, Jillian Carson, Helen Morris, Gage Broderick, Dave Wheatley, Craig Mills, Lorraine Wilson, and Sherry Gervin. Thank you to all the members of our community and service organizations for sharing their stories.